How is it to be famous?
For me, famous is to have the possibility to do more, kind of open doors. Sometimes it's quite interesting when you are walking in another city and people, I remember you from somewhere. And I, okay. And sometimes even it happens to me on interviews.
I mean, you can work from your church's yard or from a cafe because, well, we are remote first, right? Like you wouldn't be able to do it in a normal job, would you?
I wouldn't change it for a normal job, to be honest, because I think that working remote has made me what I am. We go to children's homes. We send them gifts. We even take the gifts there. To people with disabilities, we have a home here with only women, people with disabilities. So we go there and make a very nice holiday and a party and give them gifts and, you know, for them to feel special at least that part of the day. And we have a charity kitchen, meaning that we are feeding homeless for around 100 people, 6 days in a week. They have like a hot lunch. They come to the church and take it. And if they can't come and take it, we organize delivery to their home. So I'm even better than James Bond.
Hello all. My name is Alexander Jess, and it's time for another episode of Meet the Innovators. And today I am talking to Branislava Jovic. Hello, Brani.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. And how are you?
I'm good.
I heard that there is quite some sun in Bulgaria right now.
Yeah. We are actually having fun with the last sun rays. Hopefully that is going to be until the end of September. So, yeah. But it's not that hot as it was during the summer. So now it's more my season, definitely.
Well, we have, you know, this slow rain. Light drizzle and it's rolling. It's going to be probably raining the whole day. So lucky you, I guess. And we are talking, we managed to talk because it's September, which means kiddos are back in school.
Oh, well, they're starting actually next week, the older ones, but the baby, he has already started. So it's much better and peaceful time to talk. Definitely.
Okay, so in Bulgaria, school starts second week 15. Of 15. Okay.
Yeah.
How will you feel after 2 months, 3 months of chaos? Or I don't know, was it chaos?
it is. With 4 kids, it's quite difficult to maneuver because everyone wants to eat at a different time. Not everybody eats what they like. So they always come and bother you, asking you questions, if they could take a bath in the pool or they would like to do something else or they can go out. And everybody comes and not the 3 of them at the same time, but always at a different time. And the baby was at home for the last month of the summer. So as my husband says, we, as a memory of this summer, we have only August because it was a very difficult month for us. We had a lot of work, both of us, and with the baby and the 4 kids, it was quite a difficult month, but yeah, we pulled through happily.
Right.
With the wine in the basement, for sure.
And now the final countdown.
Yep, the final countdown, and yeah, they're off to school, and they all ask me why are so happy. And they said I'm going to have, you know, a peaceful time with me and my thoughts, you know, not everybody asking me all these questions all the time. So, yeah. And they complain they're not happy, but I said, no, well, that's life. It's not not always going to be happy about it.
Yeah, true. That's life. And I have a question. That's a bit different. How is it to be famous?
I guess different for everybody. For me, famous is to have the possibility to do more, because when people recognize you, you know, it kind of opens doors. So they trust you, and I have the possibility in that way to do more. I mean, when I say more, I can attract more people to help our organization, to help the church, to donate. And when they have the trust in you, so it's quite easy things to happen. With just a phone call, for example, you can arrange some kind of a bazaar, you know, for selling goods, or you can make an event, or and things happen quite easy. So for me, my famousness, let's say, and my husband's, we use it just for that, you know, to do more, nothing specific. But yeah, sometimes it's quite interesting when you are walking in another city and people, I remember you from somewhere. And I, okay. And sometimes even it happens to me on interviews. He said, didn't you interview me a couple of years ago? I said, no, I haven't, you know, because I have a big database, so I know who I've been through with. But I've seen you somewhere. And I say, oh, well, maybe in my other role, and I have a double life, so maybe you've seen me on TV. And say, oh, yeah, it's kind of funny. There are funny moments all the time, but yeah, it's good.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess you have kind of two lives, right? Or even three.
Yeah, I think there may be one more, depending.
Nice.
First, I'm a mother. So, secondly, I'm a nature person. It's very strange for people here that I work, because most of the wife's priests, they're staying at home and taking care of the kids. And yes, I'm staying at home, but I'm working. Yes, I have my organization, which is my third life, and the fourth life, maybe me, just me as a person, you know, and it's difficult to maneuver, but it's fulfilling, definitely, at the end of the day.
So you're a quadruple agent then, not just a double agent.
So I'm even better than James Bond.
Yes, definitely. You're working for, well, yourself. But, you know, it's kind of bizarre that in the 21st century, people are surprised that you have a job. I mean, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Well, they are surprised, because usually wives, priests here, as I said, they're taking care either of the church or of the children. And I don't know, maybe it's from old times, but it was like that. And even today, you know, after I'm working for 7 years as an HR, it's quite difficult for them to understand what I'm doing. And at the end of the day, you know, I don't even bother. So when they say, well, I'm working from home, oh, you're that girl, you know, because for everybody, for all the people, it's strange, you know, when you work from, even my father, he can't understand what I'm doing. And he thinks, you know, I'm just standing in front of the computer all day and making some money. It's difficult for them to understand this way of working and how you're not going to an office, you know, and have a boss over your head all the time, and how are you responsible on doing your job as it should be done. So it's strange for people, but I think that, I'm actually trying to go out and work with the laptop, for example, in the churchyard, or in some kind of a cafe, so that can people see me, know that it's nothing strange. It's nothing, because we're in a small city, so it's strange for people. And when sometimes they hear me, I speak in English, so they start to get it. It's something. Yeah, it's an interesting role. So,
Small city vibes.
Yeah, definitely.
I see, and so you can work from your church's yard or from a cafe, because, well, we are remote first, right? Like you wouldn't be able to do it in a normal job, would you?
I wouldn't change it for a normal job, to be honest, because I think that working remote has made me what I am. Because honestly, before that, I'm even working more now, because before that, when you're in an office, you speak with this colleague, with that colleague, you kind of get distracted all the time. And I think that you're not that productive, but I'm a person that is quite organized. And even though with four children at home, for me, it's first, it's a great blessing to be able to be at home for 3 months for the summer and be at this at disposal of my children, and at the same time to work full time, you know, for me to feel fulfilled. Because I'm not a person that would like just to stay at home and take care of the kids. I would like to do something more. And this job is giving me that. It's giving me the opportunity to be who I am as a professional and who I am as a person at the same time, without, you know, my family feeling the minuses of me being a professional, and at the same time, my job not, you know, to feel in disadvantage because I am working from home. So it's I think it's maybe one of the best things that happened with the pandemic is that we discovered that we can be quite good professionals even working from home.
Yeah, that is very true. And would you do this? Would you switch to a hybrid mode of work or
no?
Okay,
it's because with HR, you're always in contact with people. So I don't feel the need to, for example, go in an office and do the interview from there. So I communicate with colleagues all day. So with candidates, with people. And about my social life, I think I have it enough first at home. Then with the church, with the organization, I have enough social life. So I don't feel, you know, like, thrown out of society or anything. It makes me even better person because I'm not wasting time in traffic, in traveling. I'm using that time, hour and a half that I used to spend in traffic for doing more and, you know, feeling more fulfilled than just get my nerves up and my pressure up in traffic. So it's much better.
More time for reading books, watching films.
Yes, and spending time with the children and to finish up with work. For example, when I finish up at work, it's just the closing of the laptop. So that's it, you know, nothing else. I don't have to, you know, pack my bag, start my car, travel back. I just, you know, close my laptop, decide on, let's say, what I'm going to make for dinner, and that's it. It's you are without that pressure. Because life is precious as it is, even more. And for you just to put more on yourself, I think it's not worth it. And here you will have more time for yourself to do what you like, to do it how you like it, and not just to waste some time in traffic or commuting or whatever. And I think that with most of the candidates that I've spoken, they are feeling the same thing, and very few, almost let's say none, have agreed on a hybrid way of working. But maybe that is they usually say because they have been so long without social contacts, and that's why they feel it like that. But I think that you don't need a job, you know, for you to make social contacts. You can find them in other ways. Why do you have to go to the office for social contacts? Sometimes it's even if you go there when you're stuck in front of the computer all day, you can just say 5 minutes, you know, to your colleagues. And at the end of the day, again, you're not socializing because actually you are at work. You're there to do your job, not to, you know, drink coffee with your colleagues. So.
And, you know, especially in the era of, you know, websites offering, you know, easy registration for meetups, it's... I mean, I guess everybody has their modus operandi, I guess, and reason for doing things.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't look. I think the same as you. It's you know, it's work. You're not there to chit chat or gossip. But I'm also see their point of view, I guess, as well. What is your dream job? Because you do have one.
Yes, well, the one that I have currently is my dream job. What I like about it, I like that first, of course, remote that we already discussed, having the possibility to be at the same time professional and mother, and mostly, you know, to be able to do what I like. To why would people say, what do you like most about HR? What's attracted to it? I think that I found myself in that role, because I started my career as a bank manager, and I thought that was my dream job. But because I liked helping people, I guess I always did. And I had quite a lot of clients that I have managed for them to, let's say, solve some financial issues, for them to get a credit or to handle their money and things like that. But I, after it started becoming everything about sales, not about the people, it wasn't for me. So I left and I didn't know what to do afterwards. And it happened to me that I applied for a certain job. So I got accepted at it, and they told me that I'm going to be like HR specialist. I said, okay, you know, when you decided, okay, no problem. You know, I think that I will handle it for sure. Mm-hmm. My first role was to find a media analyst with English and Chinese in Korean, which was quite a big challenge for me due to the fact that where do I find people speaking English and Korean except in Korea, you know? So, but I felt a great challenge. I managed to close it up, and it was kind of like an addiction of the fulfillment that I felt, that I managed to find a person on one hand for the company, on the second thing to, you know, to give a job to somebody. So from that point on, I don't know, that was everything to me. And I decided, I finished up master's in human resources, and I started developing my skills. I started reading blogs, reading a lot of interviews, questionnaires, you know, to see how I can be a better interviewer. And it's really something. It even helps me in everyday life, because I can easily determine when a person is trying to fool me, or if they're honest, or if they're trying, I don't know, maybe it's intuition or whatever, but I just feel it. And I had several opportunities to be, let's say, on a HR manager role or director role. It is not for me. I would like to be, it's okay, you know, I can do it, but at least if I can keep part of it in the recruitment process, if I can be the person to, you know, to, it's, I feel much better if I'm the person that actually finds the people, recruits them. And for me, the ultimate satisfaction is when you hire someone. It's not about the bonuses. It's not about the, you know, the financial part. Of course, it's good one. Everybody loves that.
Yeah.
But you know, the fulfillment when, for me, the best thing was when I, after working several years in my last company, and they were creating a team building, and they decided to do it here in our city, and everything was fine. And I was organizing the stuff, so they came, and, you know, but I've been in contact with so many people, so I can't remember everyone that I've seen. And they start coming to me and saying, oh, you hired me, thank you so much. It was, you know, really life-changing for me. Second person comes, third person comes, and it turned out actually that 70% of the team for the team building was hired by me. And it felt so satisfying, because people were really happy to be part in the company, to be given that chance, because some of them were almost without experience, or they were still students, or, you know, it was just someone trusting them. And for me, it's great, you know, after a while, when a person comes to you and tells you, you know, thank you so much, you know, for believing in me and giving me the chance, even if it hasn't happened, you know, I believe that it was a nice experience for me, you know, so it's good for them. So yeah, that's what I love about my job.
What do you wish you could say to every person before they talk to you?
What to, for me, work-wise. Oh, well, I always tell them, sometimes before technical interviews, for example, they ask me, what should I do, or how should I act? And I tell them, just be yourself, you know. Do not try to pretend to be someone else. Speak about your skills, you know. Speak about, even, for example, if you don't have enough experience, the experience that you have presented in a good way, you know. Do not stand there, and if a person asks you a question, you know, for you, just answer in one question. Try to sell yourself. It's selling yourself. It's presenting you in the best light, so that, you know, the person from the other side, the HR person, the technical verifier, can feel you as a part of the team. If you don't say anything, if you just answer with one sentence, That means, you know, they can't get to know you. They can't make a decision upon your one sentence. It's much mm-hmm. better if people, you know, just hear you, see you, even because I felt that way when I went, because I didn't have an HR experience at all. So when I went to that interview, I was just myself. I told them what I've done. You know, I don't have any kind of experience. I hired 1-2 people in the bank, but that was mostly me being the manager. There was an HR department who still took care of everything. But I was just, I'm a very easily person to speak to, and I just tell them honestly, you know, that I can, just like you said, you know, I can do my best and I can try, you know, to be the best version of myself for that role. So I always, you know, when they ask for advice or what I would like for the candidates to do, it's just to be themselves, not to pretend to be anyone else, or not to pretend to be the best candidate for that role. It's not up to them to decide if they're the best candidate, but they can be the best, you know. They can present themselves in the best light, and, you know, we can take it from there. Because again, it's according to, you know, it's about a taste. So when you see, maybe, you know, sometimes when you see a person, you just dislike it because, I don't know, you dislike it. It's you cannot like everybody in the world, but yeah. It's if you hear about, if that person, you know, gives you enough information about themselves, even if you personally, when you see them, you dislike them, you will say, oh, okay, let's see, you know, this, he has the qualities, he has, you know, he speaks well, he has, mm-hmm. let's say, the stack that we need for this role. He's very communicative, so he will be very fit for our culture and things like that. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, they are, surprised when they have, let's say, the best technical skills, and at the end of the day, they are not hired, but they do not pay attention that it's very much important about the soft skills than the technical skills. Because if you have the best developer, but they're acting quite rude or not answering messages, or I know they are not, they're shaming you in front of the client, or they're acting like they're gods because, you know, they have like very good tech stack. It's at the end of the day, yeah. It won't finish, you know, good for both sides.
Yeah, it's ish. I mean, I can see it happening. I mean, some people aren't, how to put it, very nice, but come on. Just, I don't know. it's just sad, I guess. I will just leave it and just say it's very sad. And what is the last book you have read?
Last book I finished is by John Verdon, White River Burning. I'm kind of a criminal girl person, so I like a lot of murders and complicated stuff, solving mysteries. And I watched almost every movie in Netflix, every series that are with murders. And the last combination of books with series, it's Harlan Coben. They've made great episodes according to his books. And what I like it is that, for example, his books are happening only in England, but Netflix has made them. For example, there are two series that are located in Poland. There is one in UK, there is one in Spain, and it was like adapted to that way, and I liked it very much. I couldn't wait for the last one to come. And there is always a twist. So you come to the last point of the episode and you think, okay, everything is solved. We know who the murderer is, you know what happened. And, you know, in the last 5 or 10 minutes, there's always some twist and it finishes up. And you just stand there and, you know, start thinking about it. Oh, my God. So it's not as it is. And it's an amazing combination of the books and the series.
I did watch one of the series based on his books. It was in the UK. It was the UK one. It was, oh, God, Neighbor? No, what was it? That one guy's wife suddenly disappears.
Oh,
in a mysterious
yeah,
way.
Yeah. It's I'm difficult with names as well. Yes, but I know it. Yeah, and at the end of the day, it turns out it was connected with the neighbors. So it turns out that it was a relationship with this person, that person, and he found her while she was killed.
Yeah. Yes, and the neighbor was, well, I mean, it's too late for not spoiling, but the neighbor was actually the one who killed her, and then he was pretending to be her and like leaving from a train station and all. And,
it was a good one. It was a complicated, but yes, watch the other. I think there are four more on Netflix, especially the Polish one. There was one with four children happening in the past, like missing a couple of them. Two were murdered, two were missing, and things like that. It was very, very with a high twist at the end. So you should do it.
In Poland, I'm wondering. I'm very interested now in
Into the Woods. Yeah, that was the name of
Into the Woods.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna definitely watch it. I wonder if there are any Polish twists to it, but we'll see. I'll see. So talking about lives, right? You have your life. You have the charity life because you said that being famous makes it easier to get donations, to cover donations from people, and you can do more. Not only in that regard, could you tell me a bit more about your charity, about what you do?
So, I've been doing it for quite some time, but I was like, let's say, a single person, which was quite difficult for me and my husband to do it due to all the other obligations. So a couple of years ago, I decided that I'm going to just post in Facebook here in our city and ask for similar members to join and create an organization, which will be going to an official. The first group, we were like six women, only women came, which wasn't surprising for me. Now we are around 13 women in our organization. And it turned out like that two of our members are survivors after cancer, and they're on a quite young age. One was 25, the other one's 35. So it was an amazing journey because we are just kind of getting the idea that we could be a support for that kind of survivors and, you know, to assist them with anything, even advice and mental support. We also have two single mothers who are from domestic abuse that we managed to save from the family and, you know, to take them under our wing and take care of them and their children, prepare them for school, find an apartment, find jobs, so anything combined with it. We even had a woman that her child wasn't adopted, so that felt quite good because a lot of families start coming up and asking how it's, you know, to be a single mother with an adopted child. And we kind of managed to, yes, at least give advices on how people to get there. So I'm the mother with a lot of children. So we are quite a good bunch of ladies that try to do something better. So mostly we decided how we're going to start. We received a huge donation of new clothes from one lady that has closed her shop. Mm-hmm. And we decided to make a bazaar, to make our first, let's say, market where we can sell those goods on a very cheap prices, you know, just to attract people to come to our market, to check what we sell, to check what we fight for. And we did a quite good outreach. Mm-hmm. A lot of people came and we started from there. We started doing other events like sports, holiday for the children with different games, which was with the charity, let's say a twist where we had a box where people can leave what they decide to leave. We were part of food collection, meaning we made a stand in one of our bigger markets here. So when you, especially for Christmas, so when you go to buy, for example, a lot of food for yourself, you know, you can buy it for us. And for Christmas, we gave packages of those of that let's say, food to elder people here in the city. Mm-hmm. We know that they're alone. They don't have ability for themselves. For Christmas, it's our, let's say, most festive season. So then we go to children's homes. We send them gifts. We even take the gifts there. Well, to people with disabilities, we have a home here with only women, people with disabilities. So we go there and make a very nice holiday and a party and give them gifts and, you know, for them to feel special at least that part of the day. And we have a charity kitchen, meaning that we are feeding homeless for mm-hmm. around 100 people, 6 days in a week. They have like a hot lunch. They come to the church and take mm-hmm. it. And if they're without, well, if they can't come and take it, we organize delivery to their home. So yes, that's part of the things that we do. We always try to make more. And now we had our last market was in August. So we gave the money. It was actually they were supposed to be for children who are in need for school stuff to buy. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it turned out that one of the children that is in schools, in one of the schools here in our city, was sick from leukemia. So we decided all the money that it's let's say of most importance, everything is important, but that was, you know, it was fighting of life and death. So we decided that it's to donate the money to that child. And yes, we are always part of different, let's say, events and people that need, especially we're quite interested when there is a mother who is a domestic violence victim and they need our help. And we try to get involved in institutions. So yeah, it's a busy mm-hmm. life.
Yeah, it indeed is. Could you tell us how to find your organization? Do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook profile?
Yes, we have a Facebook profile. We haven't created a website because, of course, it takes money. And I think that maybe Facebook is much mm-hmm. easier to be outreached. So, yes, I can share it to you. I can share the webpage. It's in Bulgarian, but you can always see photos and, you know, can always translate and see what we are doing. So it's...
Bulgarian. My Cyrillic is kind of... But nevertheless, could you share the name right now? Could you spell it or...
To spell it, well, again, it's going to be in Bulgarian, but it's like... It's žensko blagotvoritelno družstvo Sveti Mina, Saint Mina. So...
Yes.
Yeah.
Guys, when you're watching this, below you will find links and QR codes. Please scan the code, go to the profile, go check it out, go help. So how long are you doing this for, the charity work?
It's for, I don't know, the kitchen. We started with the kitchen 6 or 7 years ago. We managed to do it with a project from one German organization, Brood for the World. They helped us. They believed in us. They believed in our project, and they helped us in creating and building the kitchen itself. And we started finding funds here. So we started with only doing one day of hot lunch, and now we ended up with six. So because we need one day to acquire, you know, goods are coming every Monday. So we need to sort them out, put them in freezers, in fridge and things like that. Mm-hmm. But yes, we started with that and we started doing like art workshops for children, church Sunday school for children, and things started happening. So people start coming, asking for help. So we were doing like small things. But I wanted, and as I told you, we were just feeling tired, you know, to be by ourselves. And I decided that it will happen on a much larger scale if we are more. So, yeah, it's actually turned out that we created such a nice group and we help each other and there is always someone, you know, to assist you. So, yeah, it's been for sure 6, 7 years. I don't know. Wow. I can't remember.
Actually, let me get up and clap. I mean, you guys are going to see my torso, but like, honestly, I'm going to have to do that. I have a dog right next to me. She was sleeping after I got up. She looked at me like, human,
yeah,
please. But that's okay. I mean, I'm not sure. Dena, I never did that before on camera here, but Dena, chodź, no chodź, 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 chodź. She understands Polish only, so I don't know. Like, that's her. I'm not sure if you can see her.
Hi. Yeah, I see her. Oh, nice hairstyle.
Hello.
Similar to mine.
Ah, yes, almost, yes.
Yeah.
Hello. She was sleeping, and then I woke her up. Sorry, dog. Go sleep. Go. Okay. Is 7 years? Because you used to ride the motorcycle. How long were you? I mean, because you stopped riding the motorcycle, right?
Yeah, I did. Well, it came up as a, I don't know, practical idea because I was commuting to a city there where I was working next to me, and I always got stuck in a hot car, and I got fed up. And one day while I was sitting in the car and it waiting to cool down, open windows, the cooler was working and nothing was happening. And one girl came up to park next to my car with a motorcycle, and I was, huh, this is something, you know, that maybe I could do it. So I went home and spoke to my husband, and he's just crazy about things like that. He said, okay, you know, let's do the courses. We'll find one and we'll start it. And we start like the next week. And at first, I thought only to drive a scooter, you know, like the proper Italian women. When I went to the courses and when I told him that I would like to ride a scooter, he said, oh, please, you know, you're not a woman scooter. You know, this is a Kawasaki. Get on it. And I was, oh, my God, it's a huge machine. I won't be able to drive it. He said, try it on, you know, and you will see. So, yeah, I tried on. And he said, if your feet are touching the ground, then you can drive it. I said, okay. So, yeah, I'm 1.68 meters, so I managed to touch the ground. And that's how I took my courses. I got the license after a month. And I decided, I bought a scooter anyway, but it was, yeah, it couldn't survive driving to another city for sure. So I bought a Honda, a big Honda 500, CBX 500. And I rode it for 3-4 years, something like that. But after I gave birth of my fourth child, a lot of accidents happened here between the friends, girlfriends that were driving motorcycles. Some of them died, some of them managed to survive. So I just, you know, maybe I'm getting old, but I wasn't commuting anymore due to the pandemic and start working from home. So I decided maybe it's time to make a switch in my life. And, you know, at least I'm not saying that, you know, you can't die from anything else, but at least I won't be at risk because it was quite risky. And I decided that I'm going to sell both my motorcycles and bought a cabrio. So now I'm a cabrio girl, yes. So I have a car, a red car with a cabrio. And again, there is wind in my hair. So yeah, I feel much better and much safer.
Nice. Well, yes, cabrio, I think, is a bit safer. Yeah, that is true. And is motorcycle like riding a bicycle, except you have an engine between your legs and few liters. Well, actually, I'm not sure how big is a gas tank of a motorcycle, but like 20 liters of gas between your legs and a motorcycle.
It's not actually, well, I've managed to fall from a bicycle, not from a motorcycle, thank God.
Okay.
But it's quite heavy, and it's, again, you have to maneuver with both your hands and your legs so that you manage to keep it straight and at the same time to change speed and to put gas so that you can speed up. But and you know, when they say, oh, you can drive a motorcycle and then you have a wind in your hair, it's not happening because you have helmet.
Yeah.
And that helmet is like, you know, like a big ball on your head. So there's no wind except if you open your visor. And I was always with full equipment, meaning that even in summer in 40 degrees, you're with full equipment, leggings, leather jacket, and it was quite hot. So yeah, it was funny. It was very, it was interesting. It was challenging. You feel good. Especially I had on my helmet, I had a hairstyle. You know, like my hairstyle, just because for people to know that I'm a woman, and you know, at least to be a little bit not so pushy as they know to be. But it was, yeah, it was good. It's I even now, if I can get on it, you know, I can drive it. It's not something that you can forget. But as I said, it's kind of felt risky to me, and I decided, you know, to at least prevent a little bit of risk to me and myself. And
I see. Well, you are 168, right? Centimeters tall. I'm 190, and I have a problem like related to let's say automobiles, because I very much like the small ones. The problem being that at least in Poland, you have to have at least, well, what is it, like this much space above your head to drive a car, according to our code, you know. And I can't, because in Fiat 500, for example, I sit with my head in the roof. So yeah, sadly.
Well, I have a solution for that as well, because my husband is 198. So he's 8 centimeters above you, and he likes small cars as well, because it's quite easy for him to move around the city and, well, go to cemetery, church, things like that. So we found a great car for him with that much above his head. Fiat Idea. It's the perfect car. When you see from it, it looks like, you know, smart. Those smart cars, but actually inside it's quite spacious. I don't know how they have made it, the Italians, but your head, it's really, it's like this for him. And it's a very economical car. It's, you know, parts are quite cheap, so it's quite easy for him. But yeah, but that's the only car. How we did, or how we picked it up, we went on a lot where, you know, they were selling cars, and he started entering every car that he liked, whichever, you know, just made it possible for him to have freedom above his head. That's how we chose it. It didn't matter for us what kind of car is going to be, or how was it going to be, and things like that. We just decided that, you know, the first car that he fits, we take it.
Okay, I thought you would say, I don't know, cut out some piece of the roof, or, you know, there is a dark cars with...
get a cabrio, so...
Yeah, get a cabrio, or there are cars with sunroofs, you know, that you can open, and then you can just kind of have this, like, the top of your head above. But, your husband is actually very tall. He could play basketball. I mean,
he plays one.
He plays. Okay. Then yeah, I used to play basketball, but that's high school. That's a high school adventure of mine. Maybe I will tell it.
Maybe you will. It was the same for him, but 3 or 4 years ago, there was like an amateur basketball league here in Bulgaria. So we have one team in our city, and they asked me if he would join, and he joined. So yeah, he plays for 3 to 4 years now. Part of that team. It's yeah, well, he's getting old, but he manages to still score, I guess. I don't know.
I see. Well, folks, be yourself. Everybody else is taken. We will leave you with that. With it, it's the end of the episode, which broke another record. Ooh, the last episode was the longest one. Now this one will be the longest one. But God,
I wish for the next one to be the longest one again, so you can, you know, upgrade every time.
Okay, we will then in a year we will have 2-hour long episodes. I'm down for it. But I wish, I mean, I honestly wish. Wow, I mean, it was such a pleasure to talk to you, and
thank you.
I hope you know, I wish you all the best. I hope you can expand your organization, charity organization, even more, especially that, well, right now with the invasion, right, Russia's invasion, there are people fleeing from Ukraine to all over Europe. People need more and more help, right? So I hope that you can expand. I hope that, you know, you can do more and, yeah, rock on, I guess. Born to be wild.
Definitely.
Right. Take care. It was, thank again, it was well. Such a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great day. And to all of us who watched us, see you next time.
Bye-bye.